Good evening to everyone. I want to apologize. It was my fault that the mic messed up this morning. The battery simply went dead and I forgot to check them. I knew it was getting about time, but in my haste I didn't check those batteries, so that was the reason why it went out on us. Tonight, I don't know why I'm not making connection, so I guess we're just going to do it the old-fashioned way and see how we get along like that. If you'd like to take a Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, that's where our first scripture is going to come from this evening. Appreciate your presence. We have a really good crowd out tonight. It's been a beautiful Lord's Day, especially for the fifth day of January. It's been a really good time. It may be going to decide it's going to work. Hopefully it does. We'll get through this. I have preached a lot more without a computer than I have with one. So we'll get through it. I just thought it would be really beneficial for you all as it helps to put a picture in your mind as well as it puts all the scriptures up there on the board. And if somebody's trying to help me, well, I appreciate that. Isaiah chapter 57, and the reason I scripture is so that we will know that we have. Someone that we can call upon whenever we're in a crisis, whenever we have a situation to where we really need a friend. We know the value of that. But I want to suggest to you tonight that we have a friend in a high place, and it bears this out in Isaiah 57 and verse 15. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And again, I want to suggest to you tonight that we have a friend. If we're a Christian, we have friends in high places. Garth Brooks kind of capitalized on a song that I have friends in lowly places, and unfortunately maybe some of us have some of those as well, but to have a friend in a high place is of great value. You know, sometimes we think about even in this life, how important it is to have friends that maybe do, that we can call on whenever we got a problem that they might be able to help us with, or they might be able to get engaged with to help a better outcome of that. And we hear that friends in high places. So that's why on my screen here, it's just not mirroring off the big screen up here. That's why I chose this title, though. I have got friends in high places. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's real important for you and I to realize and get our minds around the idea that these are three different friends. Although they are one in the Godhead, we understand that. They are three different entities, if you will. And I had a chart here that if we could have seen it, it points out that the Father, God the Father, is not the Holy Spirit. God the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. But they are three of the Holy Spirit. And we have friends in high places, and it is God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what better comfort and what better consolation to have three friends of that high position of authority, that high position of spirituality, that high position of comfort and strength that we can go to, that we've got an open line of communication to as Christians, as His people. You know, oftentimes whenever we get in a crisis in this life and we think of a good friend that we might be able to call upon this earth, you know, someone will usually come to our mind first that we need to call and let them know about the situation that we're in, to maybe seek out some counseling or some guidance or some encouragement of what we need to do with that situation. And I know I consider many of you all my friends besides being my brothers and sisters in Christ, and oftentimes I have sought counseling and guidance from you. we'll just think of what a greater blessing it is to seek that counseling or guidance from our Heavenly Father, to go to the Word, to go to the Gospel and see what God says about situations that we're confronted with in this life. What a great, great blessing. If you would now like to turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and beginning in 15, it points out here the importance of understanding that we have a friend with a friend relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's often been said, to have a friend, you have to be a friend. And that's true with our friendship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. To have a friend, you have to be a friend. Have you ever had friendships that maybe didn't last too long because they were all one-sided? In other words, it seemed like the only time that you were needed as a friend was like whenever someone had a problem or they needed some help moving some heavy furniture or they needed some help of some nature like that. And other than that, well, you never heard from them. You never seen them. You never seen them whenever you were in need of a friend or whenever you needed something. You know, a friendship is kind of mutual that way in that it takes both of us working at it to make a friendship work. And we understand that from friendship relationships upon earth. And I know many of you all are blessed with so many friends, so many friends and have made so many connections in life. And what a blessing to have so many people that you know that you could call upon if your car ran out of gas or if you had a flat tire and your spare was flat and you needed somebody that you could call them and they would be there. It wouldn't matter what time of day, they would be there just as quick as they could. But again, this friend that we're talking about, these friends that we're talking about tonight, these friends in high places, what a value, what a consolation, what a comfort to know. And again, if we'll just use it, we have an open line of communication with them. We can get the Holy Spirit by reading the Word and studying the Word and meditating upon the Word. We can talk to God through Jesus Christ anytime we need to. We can be driving down the road instead of texting or making a call. We can talk to God, can't we? That's a great value. That's a great comfort. It is to me. And oftentimes it's in our loneliest times that we call upon these friends. It's in our hardest times that we call upon these friends. When it's something that nobody else can help us with, we'll call upon these three friends. Beginning in John 15:15, it says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name you may give that it, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." You know, it's interesting to note here that there is a lot of people in the world that know not God, and he points that out. Christ points out that there's going to be a lot of people that we might encounter in this life that don't know Jesus Christ as their friend. So if Jesus Christ is our friend and he's not their friend, does that mean that we can't have them as a friend? I think what the idea that he's relaying here is, it's not necessarily because Jesus himself went into the world and he went in among sinners and he tried to convert them. I think the ideal here is we can't let those friends that we have of this world control us to the point or cause us to be led to do things that are contrary to the will of God. As I said this morning, I got a lot out of Chris's class there this morning in the little compass that he drew up here, and he talked about the repentance that John preached as he was a forerunner for Jesus Christ. And the idea was, is it's not just a matter of quitting one real bad sin and then going over here and committing another sin saying, "I'm doing a lot better." It's the idea of turning towards Jesus Christ and whatever He instructs us to do in His Word, that's what we need to do. And again, we're being led by a friend, someone who's only interested in our best well-being, if we'll only but do that. And of course, He points that out in a few verses prior to where we started reading there in verse 10. It says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I used this scripture over in James the other night. It's real important that we understand the joy that we can have from keeping Jesus Christ close to us, keeping Him in our hearts, keeping Him in our lives, keeping Him engaged in everything that we do. We can take more joy, more satisfaction, and have a peace of mind while we're doing those things. And again, that your joy might be full. It's disappointing whenever you run into Christian people that seem like they don't have any joy, isn't it? And I know we have times that it's hard for us to be joyful, it's hard for us to be happy. That's because we're in this life and in this world, and there's things that rob us of those things. But in general, we should have the joy that comes from knowing that we have Jesus Christ where we need to have Him within our heart, and again, that He is our friend. He's a friend that we can always rely upon, that we can always count on. He's unmovable. He's unchangeable. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to leave us hanging. He's always going to be there. And if you read on, it says in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now that is a true friend, one that would lay down his life for another friend. If you think about tonight, if somebody were to come into this building, God forbid, and start shooting, and you could absorb a bullet to keep somebody else from getting it, most all of us would say we would do that for our spouses, I believe. I believe most all of us would say that. But when it goes beyond that, would you or would you not? When it goes beyond your spouse, your husband, or your wife, or your children, would you say that you would do that? You know, that's a pretty tough call there to say, well, I would lay down my life for my friends. That's what Jesus Christ done for all of us. He laid down His life because He loved and cared for us enough that He would do that. That's a great value, and we need to have great gratitude for that, and we need to have great appreciation for that friendship. And again, I know there's been sermons preached on this idea of having a friend in Jesus before, but it's a good one to be reminded of the value of that friendship that we have with Jesus Christ. Over in James chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "Abraham believed in God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness, and he was what? He was called a friend of God." So that kind of answers the question, whenever we want to be a friend with God, how do we obtain that friendship, or how does that work? Well, it simply tells us there in the book of James, as it's reflecting back to Abraham and how he put his faith and his confidence in God and His righteousness, that he became a friend of God, and he was considered or counted a friend unto God because of that, because he believed in God. And he took God at His word, and whenever God instructed him to do something, he acted upon it, although it might have went against his fleshly grain to do that. He still put his faith and his confidence in God Almighty. So whenever we consider, well, what does it take for me to have God as a friend? What does it take for me to be friends with God? One of the things that we have to do is we have to believe in Him. We have to have confidence in Him. We have to have trust in Him. And we have to be willing to acknowledge that, not only to Him, but to others that we come in contact with. And we too will be counted a friend of God. So again, the point I'm trying to bring out in this is friendships work both ways. And if we want to be a friend with God, if we want to have these friends that we're talking about tonight in high places, and I think all of us do, that we can look to for strength and guidance, that we can count on in our time of need, then we also have to be a friend unto them. And by doing that, that means that we have to keep His commandments, as Jesus Himself pointed out here in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We have to understand the importance of that and not forsake our friend, not be hypocritical towards our friend. You know, if you have a friend that's going around stabbing you in the back and talking bad about you, would you consider that to be a friend, a true friend? Well, sure, we wouldn't, would we? And whenever we turn our back upon God, whenever we're hypocritical towards God, whenever we're hypocritical in our Christian lives, then basically that's what we're doing. We're causing there to be a wedge between that friendship that we have with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And again, most all of us that understand friendships in this life put great value on a good friend, don't we? We don't want to do anything to cause that friendship to be tarnished or to be damaged or to be certainly severed to where we don't have that friend. So we work at that friendship. We try to be a friend. We try to be somebody that when we see that they have a need, that we step up and do what we need to do. And I challenge you tonight, if you want these friends in high places, will you step up and do the things that you know that God would have you to do? Would you be willing to acknowledge that friendship and be willing to invest in that friendship? Again, friendships takes both sides of that friendship working. And sometimes, again, in this life, friendships are one way. But this friendship that we want to have with God, it needs to be one that is kind of mutual, in that we understand that He wants something from us. He needs something. But He wants us to serve Him, to keep Him in the right place and in the position of priority. And we need to know that, because there will be times when we'll have to call upon our dear friend. You know, there's all kinds of scriptures that lead to God the Father and God the Son. And here in just the following chapter, in John chapter 16, beginning in about verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." This is Christ speaking, of course. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Talking about Satan, of course. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Verse 13, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you all things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Again, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, another part of the Godhead that is a friend to you and I, if we are Christians. "A little while, and you shall not see Me, and again a little while, and you shall see Me again, because I go to My Father." And that was Christ instructing His disciples, because He knew His time was at hand. So we need to realize the value of this friendship and the fact that we've got friends in high places. We've got friends in high places. Over in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you." And that's God talking. That's a representative of God, but it's the ideal that God is with us. You know, in the New Testament says, "If God be for you, who can be against you?" You know, that's a good friend to have, isn't it? Whenever you're confronted with people in this life that challenge your Christianity, that question your faithfulness unto God, and He says, "Fear not, for I am with you," or "If I be for you, who can be against you?" And again, that should be of really great value to all of us present here this evening. I'm going to read on in chapter 15, verses 24 through the end of the chapter there. It says, If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both Me and My Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. What great words of comfort and consolation that Christ was going to send the Holy Spirit, that we could have Him as our friend, as our strength, as our counselor, as our companion, as our helper, as our friend. Again, we have friends in high places. If we'll just keep that relationship as it ought to be, we'll have friends in high places as God's people. James 4:4. Now this is what James has to say about those who want to be friends with God and friends with the world. He says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility or enmity towards God?" You know, sometimes people have the misconception that they can be a friend of the world, do all the things that the world is engaged in and involved in that God condemns, and yet be a friend with God. Can that be the case? No, it can't. We talked about that a little bit earlier. I don't think it's meant for us not to have any friends that maybe are in the world, that maybe have a different religious belief than what we have. We can never convert them if we didn't develop friendships of that nature. But the overriding thing is whenever they start leading us astray because of that friendship, we have to realize that we have to draw the line and not be drawn into something that is contrary to the Word of God. We can't leave God that we might have them as a friend. Oftentimes, I fear that people do that. They would rather have a person of this world as a friend as to have the Godhead as friends. We can't do that as His people. A friend is one of the nicest things you can have and one of the best things you can be. And I just want you to think about that as we bring this lesson to a close tonight. We have friends in high places. If you're here tonight and you haven't never made a decision to have those friends, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. And I can tell you from experience, and anybody else in this building that has made that profession of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, these friends are worth having. They're worth having. And they're friends that will never forsake you or leave you. You know, if you believe in that God is the Father, and you believe in Christ the Son, and you believe in the Holy Spirit, and you're willing to make that confession of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and you're willing to be buried in that watery grave of baptism, you're willing to repent, as we talked about this morning in the Bible class, and turn away from the things that the world has to offer, quit being a friend of the world, and by that I mean worldly things, things that only pertain to this world and this life that are sinful in their nature. Leave those things and follow after God. You can too have these friends in high places. Over in Matthew 28:19, be our final scripture tonight, Matthew 28:19. I want you to think about, again, if you're here and you haven't developed this friendship with the three that we've talked about tonight, what great value that would be to you. I begin in verse 18. It says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And of course, this is Christ speaking, and He's telling His disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." If you're here this evening and you've never made a decision to do that, or maybe you have, but for some reason or another you've slipped back into the world and you've left that friendship that you had with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you would like to be reunited with them, and you would like to be reconciled unto them again, it takes effort on your part as well as all that God has supplied. We have to be willing to do our part. If you're here and you'd like to do that, we can help you or assist you in any way. We'd ask you to come forward as together we stand and as we sing.